Appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful for His mercy that renews every morning, His compassions that never fail. Appreciate His love towards me all these years, all the blessings upon me, all that He's given me. Food on my table, as far as I can remember, always having something to eat that I'm very grateful for. Always clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, a roof over my head. That's a blessing in itself, and a breath of life, and having good health, and everything else that goes along with it. Just being alive, being able to breathe, being able to have, you know, limbs and arms that work, taste buds, sight, hearing. I'm not boasting today. I'm just appreciating the Lord for all that He's done for me. I see people that have all these diseases and cancer and sicknesses and different ailments in the body. Bone cancer and just all types of things, brains that are out of whack, so to speak. I'm just blessed above my measure, above my understanding, and I'm just so thankful that God has mercy upon us. I'm just thankful that He died for me most of all. He gave the free gift of eternal life. The book of Titus says that He came down, He left heaven, not because of the works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy. He renewed us. He blessed us. He came down. He saw the need. He didn't look down and see how good we were. He didn't look down and see the great works that we were doing. He looked down and He saw a need. He saw a fleshly creature. He saw one that wasn't able to help themselves, and that's us. That's humans. The greatest creation that God ever created when the first, you know, Adam and Eve. In the beginning, He created Adam, and that was their highest creation. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." And that's what they did. They created it from the dust of the earth. He breathed in His nostrils a living soul. And that's exactly what happened. That's how life started. And He took a rib out of Adam. And He made Eve, because He said it wasn't good for a man to be alone. So He made Eve to be a helpmate, to be a blessing to him, to be together. And he summed that up by saying, "Let no man put asunder, male and female put together." That's what God ordained. That's what God called. But I'm just thankful that God left heaven. He knew the destiny. He knew the life that He would have to live, the suffering that He would have gone through, that He did go through. But I'm so thankful He's still alive today. He's inside my heart. He's the Holy Spirit. He said He would not leave us comfortless nor leave us alone, but He'll be with us even unto the end of the world. That's what He told His disciples, His apostles, before He left. He came to them in that room that they were in. He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send back the Comforter. This is not the last time you'll hear from me, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. God's going to give it." That's the third part of the Godhead. I'm so thankful for it. I couldn't live without it. I could not live another day. When I got saved, the day before I got saved, I was in distress. I was troubled. I was just down and heavy. I really couldn't even lift up my head. My spirit was just so heavy. I can't even put it into words how bad it really was. I was an angry person. You know, I was not really, you know, conversative, just didn't really know how to carry a conversation, to be honest. I was just quiet. You know, I didn't really know what to say or just how to approach people. I was depressed all the time. I was troubled. And that was because the devil brought me down a road of destruction. I realized that when I heard the word of God. I knew the position that I was going to be in. If I died the way that I was living, I would have went straight to hell. That's what the preacher told me. I felt it inside my heart. He wasn't preaching it to condemn me. He wasn't preaching it to put me down into the dirt and stomp my head in the curb, so to speak. He was telling me because He loved me, because He wanted to tell me the truth. And that's what would set me free. And sure enough, after those 7 years being wasted, when I was 13 years old, I heard the word of God. But I ran the wrong way. I decided to go the devil's route, the wide way, what it talks about in the Gospels. It talks about the broad way that led to destruction, that wide way. Don't go that way. It's the straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm glad I'm one of those few people that found life, and it's just joy everlasting. He gave me everlasting life. Not that I was deserving of it. Like I said, it's not by works that we have done. Salvation is not by works, lest any man should boast. It's the grace. It's the gift of God. This nobody can boast on ourselves to be right. If you're boasting on yourself, clearly you ain't saved or you're not living right. If you boast on the Lord for all that He's done, He did the work. He paid the price at Calvary. He's the one that shed His blood at Calvary. He's the one that suffered, bled, and died on the cross. He bore His own cross, and it's up to us Christians, really born again Christians, to take up our own cross and follow after Him. You can see the one He ordained when He picked His disciples, His apostles, the 12, when He was picking them out, the Matthew that was fishing and the other ones that were fishing and doing different things with the family, He said, pick up your cross and follow Me. Leave your family, leave everything behind and follow Me. That's the key to being a Christian. When you really get born again and really get saved, you gotta pick up your own cross and follow after the Holy Spirit, because that's when you get saved. That's what you receive, is that Holy Spirit. It's all about following the Lord Jesus, following His footsteps, being attentive unto His voice. It's a very still, small voice. When Elijah was seeing things on the mountain or wherever he was, I got to go back and read it again, but he was out there and God was showing him signs. He would brought an earthquake, and Elijah said, no, He's not in the earthquake. And He brought, lightning, and He said, He's not in the lightning, and different things He brought forth. But then a still small voice came, and that's what touched his heart. That's when he knew the Lord was there with him. He was going to bless him. He was going to help him. Elijah thought he was by himself, but God preserved 7,000 men, 7,000 Christians that were going to be there to help him. God always has His Christians. I'm so thankful that real, genuine Christians are still out there. It's very few. It's hard to find. There's a church on every corner, but people are just trying to pad their back pocket full of money, full of your money. They try to ask you and say, you're going to receive a blessing. Blessed are those that give. They always use scriptures and twist it to suit their own fancy. It grieves my heart to see, to hear what people try to do to confuse people. Innocent souls, they're confusing. All they care about is your checkbook and what you're going to give to the church. They'll be all smiles and all good and all games and all play, but when you turn your back and you leave, they don't even care. All they're doing is sitting back, propping their feet up on their desk and counting your money that you gave to them. They don't care about where you're going to go. They don't care about your soul. They don't care if you're going to go to heaven or hell. All they care about is patting their back pocket. They're a bunch of liars, wolves in sheep clothing. The Bible talked about that. That's what Jesus called them, wolves in sheep clothing. Dumb dogs that can't bark. The blind can't lead the blind. They're all going to fall in the ditch. I'm just so thankful there's still real God-called preachers out there. I'm so thankful to be called to preach. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm an unworthy, wretched sinner saved by grace. And God opens up my mouth, and that's all I got to do is be an open vessel, yield myself to God, and He uses me. The Holy Spirit starts to fall upon me, and I don't even know what my next word's going to be. I just sit here and with an open mouth and an open heart and let God do all the speaking. That's what a real God-called preacher, that's what living by faith is all about. Having your prayers, having your study each and every day, really putting out an effort, a wholehearted effort. It's not a halfway Christian, but God looks for a wholehearted, full believing Christian that's going to trust Him, that's going to have faith in Him no matter what trials you go through, no matter what kind of tribulation, no matter what kind of fighting of the devil, this rotten, stinking flesh that we have to contend with every single day. If you just put your trust and faith in God and leave your burdens at Jesus' feet, that's all you got to worry about. God takes care of the rest. He blesses. He answers prayer. Not that we're worthy, but because His mercy is renewed every morning and His compassions never fail. His love is just unbelievable to me. I can't even comprehend the amount of love that Jesus has for us. Somebody that knew that He was going to suffer. See, if we knew that we were going to suffer, we always, as humans, we try to get around. We try to go the easy way. I do that myself sometimes at work. I try to make an easier way when I should just try to do it right there. It's right in front of me. But sometimes this flesh gets lazy and we try to think about shortcuts and different ways to do it. But see, salvation is no shortcut. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There's no other way to get to heaven. The Bible said there's no back doors. There's no exit gate. There's no ways to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ alone. The Bible said there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's none other God. No Buddha, no Muhammad. All those are dead gods. Those are ones that are gone and dead, and Jesus is the one that's alive. He's the one that's living. That's the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit that's living within me. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived on both sides. I've been in the flesh. I've been in the spirit. The fleshly tables, of the devil. I ate from his table. He tried to feed me with a slop of the world, and boy, did I eat it up. I ate it up for 7 long years, but I'm so thankful the Word of God came again the second time and God got alive inside of me when I finally decided to bring my broken heart and my contrite spirit. I prayed, Lord, have mercy. First off, I didn't know how to pray, but this is just, I just cried out. My heart was doing all the speaking. I wasn't really audible at the time. The second prayer I did, but I was crying out to God. I said, Lord, please forgive me. Help me. Have mercy upon me. I've heard the preaching of the Word of God. I know I'm a sinner. I know if I died right now, I would go to hell as an intruder. I don't want to go there. It's a terrible place. It's a place of fire that burns forever and ever and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. I've seen the Scripture, Lord. I've heard the preacher preach about the Scriptures of hell, but I don't want to go there. I want to be saved. I want to be used by You. I want to help people. And when I prayed that way, when I was really contrite, when I was really remorse about myself, I wasn't sorry that sin caught up with me. I'm not sorry that I got caught in sin. Maybe somebody went to jail, or maybe you got, you know, locked up by the law, or you got charged with something very criminal-like, and maybe you did something, you finally got caught, and you're sorry about it. You're sorry you got caught. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for you to be sorry that you sinned against Him, because we've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. God is the only righteous one. That's why He's the one that had to die. He's the only one, the only sinless one. He's beautiful from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. He was perfect. He's altogether lovely. I want you to know how beautiful and how lovely He really is. All you got to do is open up your heart and let the King of Glory come in. That's all that God's looking for, is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I've heard that message for year and year, year after year, Sunday and Wednesday. I heard that message about being a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and repent or you will all likewise perish. I heard that for those seven years that I made mention of, that I wasted in sin. I went the wrong way. I knew the truth, you see. That's what made it all worse, because I knew the truth. I heard the Word of God being really preached, the love of God just flowing through the man of God's heart into mine. I could feel the love coming from Him. That's what a real preacher has, is the true love of God. That's what God gives you. See, I love souls. Before I got saved, I actually loved people. I was friends with all colors, all people, male, female. I was just friends with everybody. But see, when I got saved, God put a supernatural love in me, and I'm able to see souls in a whole different way, a whole different light. And I want that love to get bigger and grow stronger and stronger. I ask God every day to enlarge my heart and increase my faith and teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom, teach my hands to war, and my fingers to fight the wiles of the devil in this rotten, stinking flesh, and help me to have a better attitude, my eyes, my heart, and my affections always on heavenly things, not on things beneath, because the time is short. There's no time to act a fool. There's no time to run in the way of sin anymore. If you're a Christian today, don't run the ways of sin. Stay away from the beer. Stay away from the booze, the drugs, the cigarettes, the weed, whatever you may do. Stay away from the sex without marriage. Stick to your own wife or stick to your own husband. Don't run around and act a fool. This time is short. God's coming back real soon. Trust me, I can feel it. We're in the Saturday evening times. God has been speaking this. The Bible's been saying it. It's been speaking it. It's living, and I know it's coming to pass. We're in the Revelation, the Laodicean church age. You can read about violence across all the face of the earth. Look at what's going on in our country. People are killing one another. They're just murders and rapes and perverseness, and all types of things are going on. Drugs all over the world are just killing people, destroying people's families. Alcohol is absolutely destroying people's families, and people just continue to run there on the same old mountain, do the same old things. But I tell you today, Jesus is your answer. He's the antidote. He's the only gospel. He's the only pill that you need. The gospel is exactly what you stand in need of. All you got to do is open up your heart, cry out to God, and just be broken in remorse. Maybe you're going through a breakup. Maybe you're going through relationship problems. You don't know which way to turn. A lot of people commit suicide nowadays. What a terrible time we're living in. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back soon. Just listen. Open up your heart. I know you're being convicted. I know God's speaking to you. But just be open. Be remorse. Be contrite. Don't kick it away. Don't kick against the pricks of your heart. Just be open to the Word of God. Just let Him speak to you. Just receive Him and receive the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Just do some praying. I see my time's about gone, but don't go away. Don't go another day without being saved. You will not regret it. I guarantee you'll get peace, you'll get joy, you'll get satisfaction for the first time in your life. May God bless you in Jesus' precious name. And amen.